It's a very genuine pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to welcome you to our assembly this morning. We appreciate so very much the fact that you have an interest in spiritual matters and the Word of God and serving God. And we have a number of visitors in our audience. We deeply appreciate your presence and thank you for coming out to be with us as we worship our God. Please come again every time you have opportunity to so do. Last Sunday morning, I began a discussion on the subject, is the Bible really the Word of God sent down from heaven? And today we look at part two of this discussion. Now, while I've mentioned the Bible, our discussion is going to involve the subject of science. And since I'm not a scientist, and not particularly well versed in the subject of science, our discussions are going to be somewhat elementary in their nature. Those who wrote the Bible, by the inspiration of God, gave to us the most wonderful book ever written. Masses of people have recognized this through the years. Others have not. But people are constantly asking the question, "Preacher, where's the proof that the Bible is the Word of God?" And the answer to that question lies within the Bible itself. It's found in at least two realities. The first of these is the fact that the Bible reveals scientific facts, and it reveals those facts or revealed those facts long before the instruments that were capable of indicating to human beings on this earth that the facts were real long before those instruments were ever invented. The Bible, secondly, by way of proving itself to be from God, prophesies numerous events in life long before those events ever took place. In other words, if we're looking at science, we can go back for thousands of years, not just hundreds, and see the Bible indicating truths about this earth that scientists did not discover for hundreds or even thousands of years. And we can go back in the Bible and we can see prophecy after prophecy after prophecy that the Bible gives concerning things long before, sometimes hundreds of years before, those things ever came to pass. Many of those facts and many of those prophecies came from Israel's great leader, Moses. Now, Lord willing, we'll discuss prophecies at some future date. Right now, we want to continue looking at this matter of science. In our first study, I pointed out that four scientific facts were revealed in the Bible many, many years before mankind ever discovered their reality. And part of the reason why we could not discover their reality any sooner is because it took inventions of mankind to discover those things. I pointed out that Herbert Spencer proclaimed that there were just five things in existence. These being time, space, action, force, and matter. I think he said motion instead of activity. I would have said time, force, action, space, and matter, but it was his discovery, and so we'll leave it at that. But this was a truth revealed by Moses in the very first chapter of the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible as we have it. Moses wrote, "In the beginning, that's time. God, that's force. Created, that's motion. The heavens, that's space. And the earth, that's matter." a man by the name of Carl Linnaeus classified all matter into three divisions. He said there are only three things, and so far as matter is concerned, they are mineral, vegetable, and animal. And he was applauded for that. And that discovery made it possible for the classification of all matter on the face of the earth. Truth of the matter is that Moses in Genesis 1 named the same three things. He talked about minerals in verses 1 through 10 and vegetables in verses 11 through 19 and animals from verse 20 and on. Point 3 of our discussion was that the Bible has always taught that the earth is spherical. For many, many years, men taught that the earth was flat. The Bible taught that it was spherical, as it does in Isaiah 40 and verse 22. It is He, that is God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Point number 4 was that no mechanism is out there supporting the earth. In Job 26 and verse 7, Job says, He, that is God, He hangeth the earth upon nothing. During our initial study or investigation, I suggested that much of scientific discovery is the result of what I call innovative mechanical technology. All that says is simply that people have invented marvelous equipment, and they have. The telescope, invented in 1608 A.D., was a magnificent instrument, and it has been literally astronomical in its development. If we're thinking in terms of not what it looks like, but what it reveals out there. The early telescopes didn't take us very far out. The monstrous ones that we have today take man way, way, way out into space. I've never looked through one. If you have, consider that a privilege. That's the telescope. The spectroscope, dealing with light rays, initially became a practical instrument of investigation back in 1859. Now, through centuries of time, men had not known what held the earth in place. They formulated ideas, none of which, of course, were true. And many thought that the earth was immobile, with all movement taking place by everything that surrounded us, but the earth itself did not move at all. Knowledgeable scientific writers tell us that the development of the telescope and the spectroscope helped to lead to the discovery that our planet makes an annual orbit around the sun, and that our planet is suspended by attraction to the sun. They also have discovered that our earth is not stationary, but that it is revolving once every 24 hours. All along, God knew that we were out there, suspended on nothing, because He made it that way. And He knew that we were moving, and He knew that we were spinning. But we have not discovered anything, therefore, that God Himself didn't know, much of which He revealed in the Bible hundreds and thousands of years before even the human capability or capacity of proving what He knew and what was true. More marvelous instruments came. Radio telescopes, radar, seismographs, X-rays, microscopes, electron microscopes, super microscopes. The list just goes on and on and on. It's just et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What men have built, some of it in your lifetime and mine. The equipment in underwater vessels, in military jet planes, in spacecrafts, and even in local hospitals. Some of it equipment, things that most of us rarely have ever even heard about, much less have seen. And I haven't even mentioned the computer, All of this makes it possible for us to learn more and more about the world we live in. And all of this because God, who is omnipotent and omniscient, number one, created the universe, not just our world. He created the universe with laws to govern it. And when scientists see all of the mechanism out there and everything functioning, God did that. And the same God who did that, ladies and gentlemen, gave to you and me His divine revelation so that we would have a knowledge of what He wants us to do and how He wants us to live in this life. Now, as we look at more scientific facts revealed long before they were discovered by man, overall, this will be point number five, but the first real point of our study today. The number of the stars is like the sands of the seashore, innumerable. Jeremiah 32 and verse 22 said, "The host of heaven cannot be numbered." Then he added, "Neither the sand of the sea measured." Now, when he says the host of heaven, he's talking about the stars. And that can be seen by Hebrews 11 and verse 12, which says, "So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable." You can't count either of these. I have read that over the years, scientists suggested that, number one, there were less than 3,000 stars. That was way back in 150 B.C., before the coming of Jesus Christ. Then secondly, they said, no, there are not more than 3,000 stars. That was 300 years later in 150 A.D. And finally, in 1608 A.D., when the telescope was invented, they said, wait a minute, the number of the stars is innumerable. And so we finally came to learn what the Bible had known for years. Innumerable. But even innumerable doesn't necessarily add up to there are as many stars as there are grains of sand on the seashore. I used to wonder about that. Not doubt it, but just wonder about this. Are there as many stars as there are sands on all the seashores? Well, first of all, that's not what God said. God said that in regard to the stars of heaven and the sands on the seashores, that each of these is innumerable. You cannot count. Human being cannot count either one. But listen to me. If God had said and meant there are as many stars as there are grains of sand on the seashore, that would have been right. How many stars are out there? Innumerable. But listen, how far is out there? How far is out there? Our scientists have shown us out there is a lot farther than we thought it was. We are told today that stars are collected in galaxies. A small galaxy, they tell us, might contain 10 million plus stars. And that's not me, that's the scientists. A monstrous galaxy might contain 10 trillion plus stars. Our Milky Way galaxy, which I have read contains 350 million solar systems, our Milky Way galaxy has about 200 billion stars. But here's the punchline. The Hubble telescope site estimates there are hundreds of billions of galaxies. We can't even count the galaxies, much less the number of the stars. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, in Old Testament times, in New Testament times, and for over 1,000 years after the New Testament was completed, while many people did not believe the stars were like the sands of the seashores, innumerable, the Bible knew it. And the Bible said it. And in clear, unmistakable language, the Bible said it. And you and I are supposed to believe that some jerk way back there who didn't know what in the world he was talking about wrote that the stars are innumerable. No. Even beyond that, he had the supreme ignorance of believing that you could compare the innumerable stars with the number of the sand particles on the seashore. I mean, what dumbbell would have come up with such thing? But let me tell you something, friends. That wasn't from some ignorant, stupid person. That information came from deep, deep knowledge. That information came from God. God's the only one who could know that. And tell it for years and years before people came along and said, wait a minute, wait just a minute. You know what that said back there, that's literally true. Literally true. Isaiah 40 and verse 26, New King James Translation, Isaiah said, lift up your eyes on high. Look out into space. And not just with the naked eye, as we call it, but go to the most powerful telescope in the world, and you look out, and you look out in space. And he said, you see who has created these things. Everything out there. Look out and see who has created these things. He is the one who brings out their host, that is the stars, by number. It's a number he knows. He calls them all by name. He knows the number. And he knows the name. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. But don't misunderstand what he's saying there. He's not saying none of these ever disintegrate. He's talking about we can't count the stars. They're innumerable. But there is one who can count every last star. He knows how many there are. He knows the names of each of them because he named them. And not one is missing from his knowledge. He won't forget a single one. This is God. This is the God who created the world, who created mankind, and who told us so many things before we even had the capability of learning those things. Don't miss my point. Thousands of years after God told us this truth in the Bible, Our scientists finally discovered that he told us the truth. And I'll tell you what, it is a shame that they don't recognize that everything our God tells us is the truth. They keep discovering, but they won't attribute it to God. Perhaps here is the appropriate time to suggest that true science and genuine biblical knowledge are harmonious. And that sounds weird today because there seems to be so vast a difference between science and the Bible. True science and genuine understanding of the Bible, they are harmonious. The reason for this, the God who created the universe created the Bible. The God who gave the universe laws to govern it has given us laws in the Bible to govern our spiritual and our moral lives. False theories of science and false impressions as to the teaching of the Bible lead to any number of disagreements. But truth out there and truth in here bring us closer and closer together in unity. Before I leave the discussion of the stars, and we may not get beyond a discussion of the stars, point number 6 has to do with the voice of the stars. the voice of the star? This question is asked in Job 38 and verse 7. By the way, Job 38, if you want to go read it sometime. Job 38, the God of heaven looks at Job and says, stand up, be a man, I'm going to give you a test. I want you to answer me. If you can, I want you to answer the questions I pose. Now, if you feel brave, go home, take the test. And if you get a single one correct, you're above just about everybody else. In verse 38, here's one of the questions. Where were you when the morning stars sang together? Oh, wait a minute. For hundreds of years, Bible students thought that this had to be purely poetic imagery. I mean, nobody could conceive of the stars literally emitting sounds, much less singing. So Bible students generally took one or the other of two positions. Number one, they said the stars do not refer to stars, they refer to angels. Now, where did that come from? Because stars can't sing. Well, who says they can't sing? Well, we've never heard them sing. No, and you've never seen the earth spinning round and round either, have you? You've gone along for the ride, but you haven't seen it. So they decided stars refer to angels. It's the angels that sing. Now, I know they say that because I've read it in their commentaries. Then the second conclusion was stars is literal. He's talking about the stars. But since stars can't sing, sing or sang had to be poetic. This had to be an anthropomorphic expression applying human traits to inhuman objects, in this case, the stars. Now, as a translation, I don't know whether it's sing or sang, however it's translated in your Bible. I don't know whether that may be the best translation or not. If it's a good translation, the idea of singing may be poetic imagery. The stars, but the singing itself may be poetic imagery. However, there is no escaping the thought that as we read the passage in the Bible, that some form of sound is meant by God's statement. Where were you when the stars sang, when they were making a sound? Where were you when the stars were emitting sound out in the world? Centuries later, the sound part of the stars has been proven by the scientists to be factual. Today, radio telescopes pick up sounds from deep, deep, deep into outer space. Those stars emitting sounds just exactly like God said they would. Ladies and gentlemen, the stars do sing. Give me 5 more minutes. The 19th century brought numerous attacks against the Word of God and attacks against those who believed in the Bible as the Word of God. And I'm persuaded that a lot of this was fueled by Darwin's Origin of the Species. One very prominent man in the United States of America stood firm on his belief in the Bible. That man was Commander Matthew Fontaine Murray of the United States Navy. An interesting little tidbit of his life, his two favorite books were the Bible and the works of Shakespeare, and evidently he was an avid reader of both. Among other things, Commander Murray is considered as being the father of modern oceanography and naval meteorology, the scientist of the seas, the father of the Naval Academy, and he is especially known as the pathfinder of the seas. I thought you might be interested in his statue in Richmond, Virginia. There is a pencil and a compass in his right hand, a chart of the seas in his left hand, a Bible just behind his left foot, and Pathfinder of the Seas under his name. Commander Murray, while sick in bed, heard his daughter read Psalms 8 and verse 8. Whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. And he said, the paths of the seas. If God says the paths of the seas, they are there. And if ever I get out of this bed, I will find them. While millions of Bible readers had read that and ignored that statement, Murray believed the passage told the truth. And so he spent much of his life searching for the paths of the sea. And they were there. They were there just as God knew they were. They were there just as God said they were. They were there just as the Bible revealed they were. They were there while men said the Bible is not the Word of God. But they were there, and this Bible believer found them. It's there. We read in the Bible, and whatever it says, it's there. If the Bible says it's out there, it's out there. You and I may not see it now, but it is there. Over and over, the Bible proves itself to be the Word of God. And that means, among other things, that it proves itself to be the, you listening? It proves itself to be the power of God unto salvation. If you want forgiveness of sins, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to please your God, the Bible gives the answers. People scoff at the idea of having to have forgiveness of sins. People scoff at the idea of having to have an atoning sacrifice for the cleansing of sin. They scoff at the idea of sinners having to believe and obey the teaching of a book in order to be saved. But when this world comes to the end, it's in. And when every human being who ever lived is raised from the dead, if they've been buried in the ground, if they're still here, there are a couple or three or four that aren't here. But when we're all raised from the dead, there won't be any scoffers then. And when we are all judged by our God, there won't be any doubters then. There will be some sad, sad people then. Most who ever lived will be condemned. But they don't have to be. And you don't have to be. Faith in God and His Word. Repentance of sin. That's a change of mind, a heart in regard to the life we lived of sin. Going to turn it around. Confession of Jesus Christ to the Son of God. Baptism and immersion in the water. Resurrection therefrom. For the forgiveness of sins. Wipes every sin away. And then God makes provision for those who become His people. Because He knows we'll sin some more. Repentance, confession, and prayer. And He'll forgive. If we can help you to do any of these things, we want to do so, and we will. If you'll come forward and let us know of your desire as we stand and sing.